Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday to you. This is Paul Jamison, your host of the show, Your Real Estate Today. Welcome, welcome. We're glad you're with us, and we're also thankful that you're having a hopefully a good Saturday. I'm here with my good friend Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and this show is specifically to help you with anything and everything having to do with real estate. So, who in the heck am I? Well, I am the owner of the Jamison family of companies, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Investments, and Jamison Property Management. I'm here with Preston Sandlin. He and his wife, Meg, are the owners of Home Inspection Carolina. Preston, I was thinking about on the way down here, how many years have you been doing inspections for our group?
Wow, a long time, man.
Seems like it.
I think our first pictures together were in black and white, so it's probably been a while.
Oh, the sepia tone.
Yeah, there you go. Before they came out with the Technicolor.
35-millimeter slides. Yeah, we didn't have pictures, man. We just held them up to the light and smiled at them.
There you go.
Definitely. Well, Preston and his team have been important part of our Jamison family for a long, long time, and Preston's been on the air with me almost since the very beginning.
Yep.
So glad you're with us, Preston. Let me just tell you a little bit, since we're pre-recorded today, about what is coming. So sit back, relax, and turn us up and keep us on, because we've got a lot of great information to share today. Unfortunately, we're not live. We usually are, but unable to make that happen today. So here's what we're going to talk about. Preston is going to give us some front and center news on something called CSST bonding. And then he's going to share with us some quick and easy energy efficiency tips. I, in correlation with his theme, are going to finish the last week's show that we did not get to, were the rental tips. If you are an incidental landlord or a landlord and you want some rental tips, I'm going to give you some cutting edge things to think about in the rental process. So we're going to talk about that some. And if we have time, I'm going to talk a little bit about investment property. You know, we at Jamison, we do buyers and sellers all day long. And I do get requests. People say, hey, can you talk a little more about investment? Sure. So we're going to do that some today.
Okay.
So normally, if you had something you wanted to ask, we would ask you to call, but you can reach us anytime during the week at 846-DUNN, 846-3663. Okay. All right, Preston.
Yeah.
Let's not delay. Let's talk about CSST bonding. What is it? Why is it important? And what is the impact on the individual home owner?
Okay. All right. Well, CSST, that is an acronym for corrugated stainless steel tubing. And that's what's used for your gas lines going into your house, whether it be for furnace, water heater, gas logs, you name it. That's what they're using. They've been using probably about the last 15 years. This was a big topic in our home inspection continuing education. We have to take continuing education just like Paul for real estate, and you know Paul takes even more than the normal amount. But this was a big topic, and the thing is, it has to be bonded. And the reason being is because if you think about it for a second, Paul, you have this gas line going into your house, and this CSST, it's flexible. You know, in the old days, you just had that big, you know, piece of iron, you know, go in. You could only do a 90. You could only do, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit inflexible as far as running it around rafters and things like that.
Yes.
Okay, so the problem with, if you think about it, though, the way this is, it's like little pieces of stainless steel, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So it's kind of bendable, right?
Ah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the problem came in, and a lot of explosions, actually, if there was a way this thing can get electrified. Whenever you're talking about metal, something can be electrified by a lightning strike, uh-huh, a hot wire somehow getting connected to it. Well, anything that can be electrified, like your electrical system, has to be grounded. Well, your gas line is grounded, but what happens is with this corrugated stainless steel, it has so many sections that that electricity, the grounding, loses. It's, you know, as it goes from one piece to the next to the next to the next, it can't make it to the ground properly and then ground out. Whenever something gets electrified, you've got to be able to ground it so the electricity can escape. Otherwise, it's bad. So what would happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got gas in it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happened. It was first documented in Dallas. A house got hit by lightning. The CSST line, you know, got electrified, and there was a pinhole in it, and the gas came out, the spark, boom, it blew up. So if you have CSST, it has to be bonded. And what do I mean by bonded? Well, as soon as it enters the house, before it gets to the first appliance, you have this little clamp on it. And there's a couple of different ones, and it clamps it to usually a copper wire. And that copper wire has to go back to either the box or a pipe, but typically the box, because your box is grounded to an 8-foot rod that goes into the ground. So mm-hmm, what happens is, Paul, is if there is a lightning strike, you're giving that electricity a way to escape and go to the ground and disperse.
Right, and go away.
Exactly.
Blowing you up.
Yes. Right, right. Because otherwise it's going to get trapped among the CSST, and you got electricity, and you got thin walls, and you got a pinhole leak in the gas, boom, and it's really bad. So that's something that inspectors are going to look for. If you have CSST, and I'll put a thing up on my website, if you look at askthecharlotteinspector.com, you just want to make sure that it's bonded somewhere before it gets to the first appliance. You're going to see a clamp with a wire, and that wire probably is going to go back to your box, or it can go to some water piping. I'd rather see it go to the box, because then that goes straight to a ground, but it has to be grounded, and the idea is so that if it was electrified, the electricity has a way to get back to the ground and disperse.
Hmm. So it's not grounded. CSST coming out of the meter is typically coming out of the meter, gas meter.
Mm-hmm.
When would it become CSST?
When it starts to have that kind of slinky look, and typically it'll have yellow. That'll have a yellow sheathing over it.
Hmm.
And it kind of looks like because it's multiple tubes, one after the other. So it kind of has sort of a rounded, you know, like kind of. Like a worm, like a woolly worm. I don't know if that's the right word, but on the back page there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not this one. It's the smoother looking one.
Yeah. Now the gas connector, sometimes you'll have one of those that are just a short gas. You'll see it just connected to your water heater or something like that. That's less than 6 foot. That's not CSST. That's just a gas connector. This is not a problem. That's not going to be longer than 6 foot, but the CSST is the problem. If it's not
grounded. It can be a lot of feet.
Right, right. And again, the problem is if it gets electrified, hit by lightning or a stray wire, somehow mm-hmm, it gets electrified and you've got gas and the electricity has no way to disperse, aka ground, get grounded and disperse into the ground, you've got problems and a potential explosion.
Right.
You
know, so this stuff technically, so what you're saying, and I'm probably saying the wrong thing, but so it's not self-grounding. It has to physically be grounded by a clamp or something else.
Correct, correct, correct. Well, the idea when it was originally put in is that it does ground, but it has to travel so far on those rings that it just doesn't work effectively. So that's why you have to ground it basically with a jumper. What we're talking about is a jumper. So you're jumping that wire because as it goes from one piece to the next, to the next, to the next, it's losing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's not, you're not giving it a great escape route. You're basically trapping that electricity. It is grounded actually without the wire, but it's not grounded effectively.
Effectively enough to cause it not to go
correct,
boom.
Correct. So that's why you're putting a grounding clamp on it and a wire. It's basically a jumper.
So what if somebody has this stuff and it's not grounded? Is it a big deal?
Yes. It is going to be a write-up on a home inspection report. After 2005, it was code that it be installed that way. But you could have it before 2005 and it didn't have it. But a home inspector is going to write it up. The good news is it's not terribly expensive to put a ground on it and put a jumper. It's not.
And who would do that? An electrician?
Possibly an electrician or a plumber. Different ones can do it. But I would. Electrician would probably be the best.
Okay, another thing for us to look at.
Another curveball. Easy fix.
That was interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, right. There's some scary stuff that's happening.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, I learned something new, and I hope you did too. Stay with us. We've got so much more here with Preston Sandlin from Home Inspection Carolina. I'm Paul Jamison. Your host with the show Your Real Estate Today and the Jamison family of companies here in the WBT studios. Stay with us on News 1110 99.3. Welcome back to the show Your Real Estate Today. Hello, friends. I'm sorry today we are pre-recorded. Not usual, but it is what it is. We're here to talk to you about anything having to do with real estate. If you're just tuning in, I'm here with Preston Sandlin from Home Inspection Carolina. We're going to talk later on in the show and throughout the show about 25 quick and easy energy efficient tips, or maybe not 25, but some.
Right.
I'm going to talk to you some about rental tips. I did not finish that segment last week and promised to those that have interest in investment property some rental tips that may be helpful to you. I'm your host, Paul Jamison, with the Jamison family of companies, and always available if you have questions at 846-DUNN, 846-3663. Okay. All right. Rental tips. And Preston, you're an investor.
Yep.
You know that finding the tenant is helpful.
Oh, that is the
However,
most crucial.
It is. There are some things that I'm going to go through them. They're not in a succinct order.
Okay.
But they're all things to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, always raise the rent. Now, the antithesis of that is never raising the rent. And the purpose behind it, people would say, oh, I got a great tenant. They're doing such a good job. I'm not going to raise the rent on them.
Right.
That is not the right way to do it.
Okay.
Let's say they're living in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And renting. Do you think they're not going to get a raise the second year, third year, fourth year?
No, they're going to get a raise.
That's right. Every year, you should raise the rent. And I'm not talking about always if market rent has only gone up $25 or $50. Make that raise insignificant.
Right, where the pain of moving would be much greater than, I've
heard that. But you should train your tenants to expect a raise in the rent every year.
Yeah, well, and you know what, Paul? The cost of the repairs and upkeep is going to go up as well.
And taxes.
Yeah, everything goes up. I mean, you're going to be losing. I know the argument. I got a great tenant. I don't want to raise the rent on them. But, $15? Really? Somebody going to move out because you raise the rent $15?
Yeah, I mean, that's my point, is sometimes you need to raise it a bunch.
Right.
Sometimes you don't.
Right.
Okay. All right, be selective even if you stay vacant.
Yes.
Okay?
It's like a bad marriage. It's a lot more expensive to get out than to stay single.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll. That is a great analogy. We don't need to expand on that. Financially, though, people say, well, geez, I got a month's vacancy. I'm telling you, a bad tenant and a bad relationship and a compromising scenario ain't worth it.
No.
All right. Do not show the house unescorted. Do not let somebody into the house without being escorted, either by an agent or by an owner or an approved representative. Now, if you're not licensed, you do not have the ability to negotiate rent under an agency representation. If you're the owner, you can negotiate till the cows come home.
Right.
But do not give somebody the code and let them go to the house unescorted. Because there are too many instances of windows being left open and people crawling in after and either squatting or taking out the appliances or whatever. Just don't do it.
They can make a copy of the key.
We don't do it. Okay, there's services out there that will get a copy of your driver's license and take a dollar from you and give you a code to get in the house. No, double no, triple no.
Absolutely.
Just because they can't get in the front door doesn't mean if you unlock a window, they can't climb in that. Don't do it. We don't do it. Watch out for companies that do. Here's one that will surprise you.
Okay.
This is rental tips, right? Answer the phone.
Seems simple, but I know a lot of people don't.
Answer the phone. I'm not going to say anymore. Yep. Answer the phone. Can't eat if you don't come to the table. All right. There, I said it. Ask pre-qualification questions up front.
Okay.
Like, have you ever had an eviction?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you moving? Do you make three times the rent? Who's moving with you? Are they over 18? Do you have a dog,
a cat,
a hamster, a goldfish? What do you got?
Right.
Ask the right questions. Don't go down the road, waste their time or yours.
All right? I've got one for you, Paul, and I was wondering, because I was in a class, and I don't know, how about criminal record? I know there's this disparage. I kind of disagreed with what was being taught in the class about that. I didn't like that, but I don't mean to get you off your thing, but I'm curious your thoughts on.
Well,
I feel like if somebody has a criminal record, that's not being, you know, whatever. I mean, the argument is if it was 20 years ago and it wasn't anything violent.
Well, the nonviolent crime, I think there's a sun setting on that. I think if it's recent, you can use it. But, they're saying now you can't discriminate a tenant based on certain aspects of a criminal record. And
it's a slippery slope.
It is, truly. I don't, obviously. I follow the law. But also, you know, and in some cases, you know, depending on what the crime was and when.
Sure.
Even before, you know, you look at the whole picture.
Right, right, right.
You look at the whole picture. I struggled with that one, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a teetotaler, and I certainly believe in, you know, second chances. But at the same time, you know, if anything were to happen,
right.
And then, you know, and I don't know. I just.
Yeah, like sex offenders.
Oh, that,
you can't put them in a community.
That's a no.
There's certain things like that. But
I don't care how many years ago it was. That's a no for me.
Right. All right. One of the things that we do with prospective tenants is we look on Facebook.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Facebook is something.
Yeah.
Or some people call it Fakebook, but you can read through a lot of lines on Fakebook.
Fakebook.
And you can find out a lot about a person.
Right.
Their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if their pictures all have large drinks, smoking and stuff in their hand, then...
Or they're always at a party.
Look like a duck, sound like a duck. Got it. Okay. All right. If you can't afford to wait, sell.
Okay.
If you have an investment property and you can't afford to wait for the right tenant, it's time to sell.
Okay.
An investment is a 5 to 10 year look at a piece of property. That's true investing.
Right.
You know, there are flippers and other things. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about a piece of investment property. You know, it's like a stock, right? If you can't handle the volatility, sell it. Get out of the volatility. Sleep at night. Okay. What you do for one, you do for all.
Okay.
If you have everybody, If you have addendums, if you have, for example, we have a spice addendum, if one signs it, they all got to sign it. Smoking addendum, one signs it, they all got to sign it.
And when you say all, you're talking about all the folks that live there.
Any tenant.
Okay.
Any lease. Bed bug addendum, they all got to sign it.
Okay.
You know, don't create scenarios where you put someone in a box due to a circumstance.
Such as
because they're divorced, you have them say that, you know, they would not have anybody sleep there more than 2 weeks.
I see.
That's in the standard lease. You can't have anybody stay for more than 2 weeks unless they're screened.
Right.
Okay. Not because of their circumstance, to create a scenario, you do it for what you do for one, you do for all, from screening to parameters to everything.
Good rule.
That's right. It keeps you safe. All right. And make sure they got insurance. Always get renter's insurance. And if they don't keep it, it's a provision in the lease that they have to have it. It is breaking the lease.
Oh, okay.
Protect your property, protect your tenant, protect the scenario. So much more to go here with Preston Sandlin, Home Inspection Carolina. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. We're glad you're with us. Happy Saturday. We'll be right back on News 1110, 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host from the Jamison family of companies, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments, here with the one, the only, Mr. Preston Sandlin from Home Inspection Carolina. We're here to talk real estate. So if you're just popping on real estate, anything having to do with it, taking care of your home, selling, buying, investing, and caring for that home in general, we're here. I'm in the real estate business. Preston runs and manages a home inspection company, but also is licensed and has investment properties.
I do.
He's coming at it from every side, and his guys go under, above, over, and around to protect your interest in a real estate transaction. Now, even if you're thinking about selling, we have a rule around Jamison. There are many, many cases where we go, look, before we put the house on the market, let's call Preston at 704-542-6575, and let's get a home inspection done before we put it on the market.
A pre-listing now, inspection.
You have many reasons to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Preston, if you could name three reasons, and I already know them, but I'll let you do it. Three reasons why someone should even do a pre-inspection.
Keeps your deal from going sideways.
Yep.
You could get multiple estimates on the repairs needed, so it's saving you money.
If there are any, yes.
And at the end of the day, when it's all totaled up, you're going to sell your house for more money if you get a pre-inspection.
And bottom line, those three are spot on.
Oh, thanks.
Because if you really look at the home inspection itself, it is a document that is filled with a lot of information.
Right.
And that is something that a lot of people don't understand when they get the document.
Right.
So clear communication about what is important, what is not. Clear communication and being able to proactively versus reactively take care of an issue.
Right.
But last but not least, think about a buyer coming into a home that's worth, doesn't matter what it's worth, right? And saying, this home has been pre-inspected and here's a copy of the report.
Transparency.
Dang.
Yeah. And you know what? You only have to negotiate the price once instead of twice.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the
norm. That is a huge deal because negotiation, you know, the art of negotiation and emotion are in the deal.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with the way the normal inspection goes, you the seller comes down, buyer comes up, whatever, they settle on a price, then you have a home inspection. Mm-hmm. Now there's a whole new set of problems, and you have to renegotiate the price. If you know all those problems up front or you've addressed them up front, you don't have to negotiate twice, just once.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest one because, you know, you do high fives after you get the initial contract, but if you don't do some of the preemptive things, You're gonna get hit again.
You got a minefield that you got to walk through.
Exactly. You know, even on new construction, Preston, that was the one interesting thing that I learned from you many, many years ago. I was telling you, oh, you know, Preston, hey, we're building this new house. And he said to me, well, when are we doing the inspection? I said,
oh, it's a new house.
It's a new house.
We don't need that. I'm like,
I mean, everything's brand new.
And everybody
and the county's
works
already
for the builder.
Inspected it.
Yeah, yeah. He did 42 other ones that day, too.
You know, I learned my lesson. And you know what I learned? I guess it was about 4 months ago, Preston. Y'all did a home inspection for me on a brand new construction.
Okay.
I had 18 items on that inspection report.
Wow.
That needed to be fixed.
Okay.
18.
I actually think that's low.
Now, I've had some with more.
Yeah.
But that was just recently.
Yeah.
And he did the inspection for me twice. I actually had it inspected twice. I had it inspected pre-drywall.
Right, right. So we can see all the roughed in plumbing and wiring and that sort of thing. Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah, we've had new houses, Paul, that, you know, one of the drain lines wasn't even hooked up as soon as they flushed the toilet.
Oh, my gosh.
But fortunately, it was just water. We just went right into the crawl space. We've had flues that weren't connected. And what I mean by that is, you know, the water heater, gas water heaters, just put it pumping carbon monoxide just into the attic. I mean, you just need somebody there who's got your best interest at heart taking a look at it, because nothing against builders. There's some great builders out there and some busy builders out there who are really busy, you know. And, you know, if you don't get an inspection, all I can say is everybody you talk to works for them, except for your realtor and possibly your inspector. So I recommend having a realtor and an inspector. Well, even when you buy a new house, maybe even more so, because you need somebody working for you your best interest at heart.
That's right. Yeah, because, you know, you need somebody that knows the law, knows what to expect, and know how to communicate around it.
Right, right. Yeah, so and you know, just like anything else, an accountant, something like that, they'll more than pay for themselves with the money they're going to save.
Oh, yeah.
People try to tell me they're going to save their money to do their own taxes. I'm like, I mean, I don't mean to sound bad, but that's like the most foolish thing I've ever heard. A good accountant will save you more. A good realtor and a good home inspector is going to save you way more than their fee. You know, it's going to cost you more by trying to not have one, I think.
Yep. And thank you, Preston, for climbing up on the table gently, because that's really the truth. You know, the way of today is fast and efficient. It's one thing to pump your own gas,
right?
And it's another thing to make the biggest transaction of your life without an advocate,
right?
And realizing the grain of salt, the value that we add in the process, getting it to the finish line,
and trying to do something that you don't do every day, that you rarely do, instead of working with somebody who does this every day, knows the codes, knows the zoning, knows the shopping center, knows the schools, the ratings. I mean, get a professional. It's way worth way more than their fee.
Amen to that. I like that. That came from nowhere. We didn't talk about that.
No. Okay. It's just true.
All right. So here is a energy efficient tip.
Okay.
Always shower with cold water. No, that's not what it says.
They say it speeds up your metabolism, but I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm not there.
We stayed at the state campground one time. Those are the quickest showers I've ever taken in my life because they don't have hot water.
They do say to sit in a cold room, it helps you lose weight.
It's supposed to.
Have you heard that? Where you shiver, like, you know, like to the temperature, like where you can hang meat. And I'm thinking, you know what? I ain't happy. If possible, he says, wash your clothes in cold water.
Absolutely. Well, and even shower in cold water if you can, because it's not just the 50 gallons that's sitting there that you're paying to keep heated. You got to think about every time you use the clothes washer or the shower, you've got to pump that water to the, you know, I get this complaint all the time. Hey, well, it takes like 2 minutes for the water to get hot. And I'm like, in your master shower. And I'm like, all right, where's your master shower? Now, where's your water heater? And it's obviously opposite ends of the house on different floors. And that's you think right. about it now, just physics here, you can't get water from there to here like that unless you have one of the instant, you know, yeah. water on demand.
But still there's water in the pipes, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so when you use and you know, I'm being a hypocrite here because I love my hot showers. But, you know, I have to go in, turn the water on, and then wait a few minutes before I even get in there. So, number one, you're wasting water on that end. And then, you know, it costs to heat it. But I can't do the cold shower, but I can wash my clothes in cold water, so I can at least do that. So that will save a little bit of money.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have one of my youngest son, who's 25, still lives at home. And so I did get a Christmas card from CMUD and from Duke Power.
I bet.
For my hot water use and my water use.
Right.
So, yay to that. Why are these LED bulbs so efficient, Preston? Because I mean they're take forever to warm up.
I know. Well, they without getting too deep into it, they kind of recycle the energy a little bit. They use typically 60% of what an incandescent bulb. Because if you think about an incandescent bulb, you ever feel how hot it is?
Yeah.
Well, that's energy. It's a lot of that energy is being released. Where an LED bulb burns a lot, you know, it's not nearly as hot.
Cooler,
yeah, you can almost unscrew an LED bulb when it's been on, but you'll never unscrew an incandescent. Now, having said that, it's about 60%, uses about 60% of the energy that an incandescent bulb does. It's taken me a while to get used to the kind of the glow. I love the old incandescent kind of gold, yellowish, you know, it just... Because you ever seen them like on a porch?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that just doesn't look right. But it does add up. It does save you a lot of money. And, you know, in this time, I mean.
Can you put them in a regular fixture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And actually, you know what? The government's kind of forcing us anyway. I don't know if you guys have bought incandescent bulbs anymore, but they're expensive now. They used to just about give those away.
Yeah, they do.
You about have
to
buy LED bulbs now.
Yeah. All right. Well, more tips to come on energy efficiency and renting your home. We're glad you're with us. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News 1110 99.3 WBT. Stay with us. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host, Jamison Realty with Keller Williams, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. I am here with Preston Sandlin from Home Inspection Carolina. We are pre-recorded today, so unfortunately we did not have... the ability for you to call in, but we're happy that you're here. So yep. Thank you so much for that, and we look forward to sharing time together. All right, so let's continue a couple more of these tips,
okay.
Preston, and then I will circle back on the rental tips closer to the end of the segment.
Okay. We're all about the tips
What
today.
Are some of the ones that you had picked out about, like, using your microwave instead of your stove?
Yeah. You know, microwave is much more efficient using electricity. A stove, you know, basically, if you think about it, just like the incandescent bulb, if it's giving off a lot of heat, that's a lot of energy, and energy that you're paying for. And not to mention, and when you cook this time of year, on top of that, you're fighting your air conditioner.
That's true.
I know. And I was going to tell my wife, I told my wife this argument, and it was a mistake because she's like, that's all the more reason we need to go out to eat. but I was like,
oh.
I know, but
bad mistake.
I ought to make sure she doesn't listen. Can you cut that segment out? But anyway, a microwave is a much more efficient as far as energy use. If you can microwave your food instead of turning on the oven or stove, and I'm a foodie, I love, but you know, if you're just eating lunch by yourself, just microwave it. Don't turn on the stove if you can help it.
Yeah, well, like you say, you know, just in the wintertime, it's much more efficient, but summertime, it's not.
Yep. Yeah. I would say number nine down there, you know, always use natural light when possible. You know, if you've got natural light, open those curtains up. You know, it just saves a lot of money. And I know on the real estate side, too, as far as listings and showings, you guys want to see a lot of natural light. I think it just makes you feel better, but it makes the room more open, more airy, and you're not using electricity. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And in the wintertime, you're actually helping heat that light actually heats the house a little bit as well.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Here was one I found interesting. Don't leave the bathroom or kitchen ventilation fans running longer than necessary. They replace inside air with outside air.
Yes, yes. You're expelling whatever conditioned air that you have in the bathroom because it's code that it goes outside or goes up to the vent in your attic. Now, obviously, you want to turn on the bath vent when you're showering, because you don't want that moisture. You want to get rid of the moisture.
Yes.
Because that leads to mold and mildew and, well.
It's hard sometimes to figure out when it's finally out of there.
Yeah.
Because they say a lot of times that you do need to leave it on longer for, the potential mold or mildew possibilities that exist as that steam rises.
Yeah.
But if you're taking a cold shower, it doesn't really
That's right. You're saving energy there on both sides and cooling the house. But if you leave it on, I would say past 5 minutes after you take a shower, then you're just removing conditioned air from your house. And if you're expelling conditioned air, and I mean that by air that's either been heated or cooled, depending on the season, then you're creating a suction, and it's going to pull in outside air from around your windows, doors, and that sort of thing. So now whatever your system is going to have to work hard to condition this new air. So, yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. You don't want to run the bath vent fan, I would say, more than 5-6 minutes after you've finished with the shower or, whatever you were doing that caused steam or moisture.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot tub.
All right. So, interested in your perspective on this, Preston.
Okay.
Smart technology like the Nest
thermostat. Yeah.
Is there proven efficiencies? That's a pretty smart thermostat. Do you think? And this isn't on your list, I don't think. That some of this smart technology can actually save money. Is that a true fact?
Yes. I love it. We have the Honeywell ones, but I'm a big fan of the Nest. And what Paul's talking about is thermostats that are Wi-Fi. So basically, Paul can control, and I could do it, except I don't know how my wife does it, but he can say, I want it to be cooler when I get home. So he can turn the air up right now. We did it when we were at the beach, and she said, we're about halfway back. She's like, let's turn the air up so that it won't be, hot when I get there. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of controlling it. You got to be careful, though. Certain things, like on a daily basis, it costs more.
Jockeying it.
Yeah, just because, let me say, like, you got a heat pump, okay? A heat pump is basically like an air conditioner that works in reverse, but it also has these heat strips on it. And a heat pump is designed, if you're within 2 or 3 degrees of your target temperature, it runs pretty efficiently. But if it drops below that, the heat strips have to kick on, which is basically like turning on a stove. That's expensive. So let's say you had a heat pump.
It's that emergency
heat. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And if you, let's say it was winter and you had a heat pump and every day you think, I'm going to turn it down while I'm at work and then turn it up. Man, if you drop that thing more than 3 degrees, it's going to cost more just to get it back up to the target than it would be just to coast along it keeping it at the same temperature.
Right.
But if you're going to the beach for a week, absolutely, turn it down because, you're not going to need to turn it up. But if you're doing it on a daily basis, be careful because sometimes the energy required to get it back to where it was is going to be more than if you could have coasted it along. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. The Simply Safe alarm system, we have that, and it correlates with your Nest.
Mm-hmm.
So when you set the alarm, when you leave,
right,
it lowers the temperature 2 degrees
or raises it
depending
on where you are. I think 2 or 3 is good, yeah.
And then when you undo it, if you unarm it, it adjusts it back to where you are. So you can, like you did for Meg, you can turn off your alarm when you're 30 minutes away, and it will automatically adjust the temperature back to where it should be.
Right.
It's kind of a cool thing.
No, it's awesome. I'm all about the smart. And, a lot of the Lowe's and Home Depot's now, and they have a whole smart section.
Yeah.
I'm a geeky techie guy.
I love that kind of stuff.
I do, too.
I got a smart lock. That's pretty cool.
I want to control my whole house from my phone. And we're there. We're getting there. We're getting close.
That's right. All right. So a couple more rental tips let's share. We talked about insurance. We talked about addendums. When you screen for tenants, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, they may make money. You got to look at the whole picture. They may make the money to qualify, but maybe they still can't afford it. When I look at a rental application, if the person makes X dollars, but then that qualify, but then they have three cars, five credit cards to the max, and they're right on the bubble of all of this stuff.
You still got to buy groceries.
One hiccup, and
they can't.
Who's not going to get paid?
That's right. That's right. You know, now, do you check past rental or references?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And okay. Past landlord, rental, eviction. We do it all.
Okay.
Nationally.
Okay.
They may also have bad credit, but it may not really be bad. Sometimes little $30, $40, $50 medical charges can pull somebody's credit down 100 to 200 points.
And they didn't even know, because that happened to me.
So look at it. Yeah. Divorce does bad things to credit. You have to take that into account sometimes. But verify the story behind the evictions. I'm doing that today. We've got somebody that's got an eviction. They're telling us a story as to why. I'm trying to reach the landlord so I can verify it. Mm-hmm. And again, if there's something vague in the application, verify it. That just ask questions. And here's another thing.
Okay.
If somebody is honest, upfront, at least spend the time with them to verify those things and be more considerate. If they hide it and say everything isn't okay and you have to do it by discovery, that makes a difference too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like flying. I always, when I was instrument flying in the clouds, you trust your instruments, but you verify.
Trust, but verify. Yeah.
Call the past landlord. All right. Preston, thanks for being with me today.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
How can people get you?
704-542-6575 or homeinspectioncarolina.com.
And you can always call us at 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamesonhomes.com. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Take care.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.